and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Sometimes in this old life we get a little bit discouraged and downhearted and defeated, I guess you could say. But it pays just to press on for the Lord. Amen? And we're not pressing on for salvation. We're pressing on toward the prize. And I appreciate that song. Thank you all very much for the good singing tonight, for the work that you've done this week, and what a blessing you've been to our church and I know to our community. And I know God's got the results in His hands. And He'll take care of it all. We're going to meet people in heaven one day. We never thought we had anything to do with them knowing the Lord. And it's going to be a time, isn't it? What a time that's going to be. I'd like for you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of the Revelation, the last book of the Bible, chapter number 11, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. Revelation chapter number 11. Begin reading in verse number 13. The Bible says, the same hour was there a great earthquake. The tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. And the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. The seventh angel sounded. There were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, we give Thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because Thou hast taken to Thee Thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and Thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that Thou shouldest give reward unto Thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear Thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in His temple the ark of His testament, and there were lightnings, and voices, and thunderings, and an earthquake, and great hail. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your precious Word. I ask You to bless not only the reading of it, but the preaching of it tonight. Lord, I ask You to use it to speak to our lives, to strengthen us, to do Thy will. Lord, I ask for divine guidance, and I pray, Lord, that the Spirit of God, Lord, would preach through me tonight. And Lord, we would hear from heaven, and we'd be encouraged and helped. I've already been blessed tonight, and I thank You for that, Lord. But now as we come to this time, I pray that You continue to work in the hearts and lives of people. We'll give You the glory for all that's accomplished. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. I want to preach tonight on Thy Kingdom Come. Thy Kingdom Come. We've been looking now at this parenthetical time in between the sixth trumpet and the seventh trumpet, between the second woe and the third woe. There's been a parenthesis, if you will, in the things that have been going on. And we reach the end of that, and we step on to the seventh trumpet in this. But we realize in chapter number 11, as we've looked at this a few weeks ago, we talked about the mighty angel and the bittersweet book, and then the two witnesses that were come into this world, and they were killed by the beast. Then after 3.5 days, they were brought back to life by the Spirit of God. Now they've been called up into heaven. And as they were called up, the Bible teaches us their enemies watched them go to heaven. And in the same hour, there was a great earthquake. The very same hour as these two witnesses were taken up out of this world, there was a great earthquake. And the Bible teaches us three things happened when this earthquake took place. First of all, the Bible teaches us that 1/10 of the city fell. Now you can imagine an earthquake, possibly I can just see a chasm opening up and buildings falling down in. You understand what happens when the earthquake takes place, but 1/10 of the city falls as a result of this earthquake. Not only does 1/10 of the city fall, 7,000 men lose their lives as a result of this great earthquake. But then the Bible also teaches us that all those people that were there, all the remnant, the remainder of the people that were there, they were scared. They were very afraid. And the Bible says in verse number 13 that remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. Now I looked at that and I thought, well, now these are not saved people. And so why does it say they gave glory to the God of heaven? Well, they recognized Him, but they did not receive Him. They knew who He was. It's just like the world we're living in today. There's a lot of people that know about Him, but they don't know Him. There's a lot of people that can say the right words, but they do not have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They saw the power of God. They saw these two rise up from the dead. They heard a voice from heaven say, "Come up hither," and they watched as these two witnesses were received out of their sight, and the Bible teaches us it scared them, and they gave glory to God. They gave Him glory as God, but they did not receive Him. You know, you see a lot of people nowadays, a lot of athletes especially, after a game, they say, "I just want to thank God." But they don't know the Lord the way that we know the Lord. And they say, you know, you want to know when it gets real serious? When they say, "I want to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Now, there's something behind that. The devil doesn't mind if we talk about God because there are so many gods. But when you get specific with the Lord Jesus Christ, the devil gets a little bit nervous. He gets a little bit scared of what's getting ready to happen. Because when people start talking about the Lord, things begin to happen. When we see this, the Bible teaches us that they gave glory to God. And I'm reminded of an illustration that the Lord Jesus gave to us in the book of Matthew when He was preaching the Sermon on the Mount. He said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, "Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." You know what I think tonight? I think you ought to know for sure that you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. I don't think you ought to be using Him as a crutch. I don't think you ought to be using Him just to get somebody off of your back. But tonight you ought to be able to stand and give a rousing testimony of the saving grace of God in your life. It may not be that you were saved out of drunkenness. It may not be that you were saved out of harlotry. It may not be that you were saved out of a drug-infested life. But dear friends, if you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you were saved by His marvelous grace and you were changed. You passed from death unto life, from darkness to light, and you have something to tell others about. So we ought to be willing to tell others. But not everybody that says Lord, Lord means, it does not mean that they know Him. And that's what's happening here in the book of Revelation. There's many today that honor Him with their lips, but their hearts are far from Him. And so we must live our lives in a way that pleases Him. Not just with their lips, but we ought to serve Him with our hearts. The Bible says in verse number 14, with these things that are happening, with these two being called up, and this same hour a great earthquake, a tenth part of the city falls, the earthquake slays 7,000 men, the remainder were afraid and gave glory to God. And with this, John writes that the second woe is past. Now, remember, all these things weren't necessarily part of the second woe. It was a stop in the action. It was no chronological movement forward. It's just a description of certain things that's taken place. But now we come to the end of the second woe, and the Bible says the third woe is going to come quickly. The third woe is the seventh trumpet. We know that from the times that we've studied in the past. In verse number 15, it seems that immediately after it says the third woe cometh quickly, the trumpet sounds. And this is the seventh trumpet. And in this trumpet, if you'll remember, there was seven seals, and the seventh seal contained the seven trumpets. Now there's seven trumpets, and the seventh trumpet contains the seven vials of the wrath of God, the seven bowls or the seven vials. So just like the seventh seal contained the seven trumpet, the seventh trumpet contains the seven vials. And this is no doubt signifying that the end end of man's control here in this world is about to come. The kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our Lord. And what a day that's going to be. I look forward to the time when the Lord Jesus Christ is ruling and reigning in heaven. Amen? And not only in heaven, on earth. I look forward to the time when He is seated on the throne of His father David. Now you look and you say, well, preacher, we're just in the 11th chapter. Well, remember, these things are not always in chronological order. You have to understand these are things that are being given to us, helping us to have an understanding of certain things, and then more descriptions are going to happen. And before you know it, seven vials of the wrath of God are going to be poured out, and all these things are going to happen real quick. When this seventh trumpet sounds, the time is here. There's not going to be a whole lot of time left, but we have the characters. We're going to have personalities that we're going to see. We're going to see the woman, Israel. We're going to see Satan. We're going to see the harlot. We're going to see the Christ child. We're going to see a lot of different things before the end comes. But we have to study this, and we're going through it book by book and chapter by chapter and verse by verse to get an understanding. So we see this tonight, and now we see all these things have happened, and the seventh angel has sounded, and the Bible teaches us some wonderful things about the kingdoms of this world becoming the kingdoms of our God, of our Lord and His Christ. So I want us to look tonight, as we think about that kingdom come, I want you to see, first of all, the Word of God. The Word of God. Notice what the Bible says. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ, and He shall reign forever. Now all this is the fulfillment of the prophecy of God's Word. We've seen this already several times in the Bible before the book of the Revelation. As a matter of fact, I would like for you to go back with me into the Old Testament to the book of Ezekiel. Will you turn there with me? The book of Ezekiel. If you get to Jeremiah, just keep going back to your right, and you get to Lamentations, and you just keep on going. You'll finally find Ezekiel, all right? And once you get there to Ezekiel, I want you to turn to chapter number 21. And then don't lose your place there in Revelation. We're going back there, but don't leave Ezekiel yet either. We're going to look at some other things. Ezekiel chapter number 21 and verse number 26. This Old Testament prophet's writing, thus saith the Lord God, remove the diadem and take off the crown. This shall not be the same. Exalt him that is low and abase him that is high. And then listen to this. I will overturn it, and it shall be no more. Until he come whose right it is, and I will give it him. And this is talking about, the kingdoms of this world. I want you to turn over with me just a few pages to your right to the book of Daniel, chapter number 2. The book of Daniel, chapter number 2. And we're going to look at verse number 35. Daniel chapter number 2 and verse number 35. The Bible says, then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Now, we don't have time to study this in depth. If you study the book of Daniel, you'll understand the meaning of this. But let's go on to verse number 44 to get a clearer understanding. The Bible says, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. I want you to look with me at chapter number 4 and notice what the Bible says in verse number 3. The Bible says, how great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Let's continue in the book of Daniel, chapter number 6, verse number 26. I'm just wanting you to get an understanding that all these things are just the Bible lining up itself and proving itself to be true. The Bible says in chapter 6, verse 26, I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God. This is Darius speaking, of course. And steadfast forever, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. Now, you remember, Darius didn't have an understanding of eternity, so he says that his kingdom is going to be the one that lasts the longest. Well, we know it's going to last forever. Amen? We go on to chapter number 7 and verse number 14. And the Bible says, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. Verse 26 and 27. And we've got one more passage we'll look at after this. Verse 26, 27. But the judgment shall sit, and that shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom, the kingdom of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And all dominion shall serve and obey him. And I want you to look one more place, if you will. I want you to look at the book of Zechariah. That's two books right before the New Testament. Malachi is the last book. Zechariah is the next to last book. I want you to look at chapter 14 and verse number 9. The Bible says, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So the Word of God teaches us about these things. And there is a day coming when Christ will reign on his throne forever and ever. Well, look forward to that time. I see all that's going on. I see the presidents of this world and the kings of this world and the dictators of this world. I see the leaders of this world. And I look forward to the day when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be over all of it. Amen? What a day that's going to be. I want you to see not only the Word of God, I want you to see, secondly, the worship of God. The Bible says in verse number 16, and the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God. Now, we've seen these elders previously in the book of Revelation. Six or seven times we've read of them, and each time we see them in a similar way, a similar fashion. They're worshiping God. But this time we see them in a whole different way. The Bible teaches us that they're on their seats and they fall upon their faces and worship God. Just as soon, dear friends, as they hear the truth of God's Word, they realize the need to worship. They hear the truth, the Bible says. They fall on their faces and they worship God. Now, note some things. They did not take a vote if it was all right to worship the Lord. You say, what do you mean? There are some churches they've voted, you're not supposed to say amen. I'm glad that in heaven we won't have those limitations, aren't you? I'd hate to be in a church where I had to sit on my hands and not be able to say amen or glory to God or praise the Lord or something every now and then. You got that right. Amen. Amen. I don't believe that they waited on one another. In other words, I don't believe this elder waited to look to see what the next elder was going to do. As a matter of fact, if you read this and you study this, you're going to find out that when this truth comes, that the kingdoms of this world are going to become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, that immediately they fall on their face. When they heard the truth, they begin to worship God. Boy, we ought to find out something about that. We ought to take some notes from that. See, they worship Him, first of all, because of His ways. The Bible says in verse 17, says, we give thanks, saying, we give thanks to Thee, we give Thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come. See, they recognize Him instantly as the eternal and unchanging God. And tonight, when somebody stands up and they preach this blessed old book and they're lifting up the lovely Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they're lifting up our God, they're talking about the things of God, there ought to be in unison some worship going on as we see the Lord. We ought to worship Him because of His ways, because of who He is. He is from everlasting to everlasting. There's no other like Him. You know, there's many gods in this world, but there's only one God like Him. There are many gods, but there's only one that's eternal and everlasting. There's only one whose ways are always right and they're always the same. And tonight, we ought to learn to worship Him because of His ways. You say, what are His ways? Well, His ways are beyond finding out. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But I can assure you of this tonight, His ways are always right. And when somebody's preaching about the Lord, we ought to have something in us that makes us want to lift Him up and praise His precious name. I think of Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. You know what I realize? According to that verse, we always have a reason to worship the Lord. When things are going well, all things work together for good. But when things are not going so well, all things still work together for good. You want to know why? He don't change. He's always the same. These elders were worshiping Him because they recognized His ways are always the same. He was the one, the Bible says, they worship Him because you are Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come. He is, we can't conceive this, but He is the I am that I am. He's the ever-present God. In other words, He's always present. And He's always previous. I don't know what tomorrow holds for me, but I'll tell you what, dear friend, God's already there. And He's already got it in His hand. And I know I can live this life as long as God gives me breath. I can live this life knowing that God's going to take care of me. They worship Him because of His ways. And then they worship Him, secondly, because of His works. Notice what the Bible says in verse 17, saying, we give Thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because Thou hast taken to Thee Thy great power and hast reigned. His works are that He's going to assert His might, He's going to assert His power, and He is going to reign as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This power that belongs to Him, that He's not enforced for all these years. You remember we talked about the mystery of God just a few weeks ago? It's a mystery to me why God has allowed sin to reign so long. It's a mystery to me why God has allowed ungodliness to take place so long. Why God hasn't sent judgment already in a mighty and in a universal way. It is a mystery to me. But dear friends, there is a day coming when God is going to show His power and He's going to show His might. It says the Lord God Almighty. Did you see that? That word Almighty is indicative of the power that He has. And then not only that, it says that has taken to Thee great power and has reigned. There's going to be a day when God is going to show His power and He's going to rule and He's going to reign. And dear friend, these elders are so excited about this time because they've seen all these things. They've watched the things unfold. And now, seventh trumpet sounds, and they fall on their face because the announcement from heaven is the kingdoms of this world are going to become the kingdoms of the Lord and His Christ. And they're getting excited. They know that the end is in sight. They realize that the things that they've been thinking about are getting ready to happen, but that's not the end of it. We've seen the Word of God. We've seen the worship of God. I want you to see thoroughly the wrath of God. The Bible says in verse number 18, and the nations were angry, and Thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged. With all the events that are unfolding, the Lord is preparing to take His rightful place. The elders are on their face in worship at the news. Boy, this makes the nations angry. Now, the nations are none other than those that are here in this world that's on the earth that don't know the Lord. Those that are remaining, they're angry, the Bible says. And the nations were angry because they knew that according to the things that have been prophesied and told, that the final wrath are getting ready to be poured out upon the nations, and they're sick of seeing this God worshiped. They don't want to see Him worshiped. They have one they want to worship. They have one they want to lift up. But they're angry because here's 24 elders that are worshiping the God of heaven. The God of heaven. I love what the Bible says. The God of heaven. You notice that? It says the God of heaven. Dear friends, we need to understand that. That He is the God. He's not a God. He is the God. And the dead. The Bible says the final wrath is going to take place. And the dead, those who died lost, shall be brought before Him. And they're going to be judged. Well, it's going to be a terrible time, isn't it? I don't rejoice in that. I rejoice in the fact tonight that I'm saved and I'll already be in heaven. But I do not rejoice in the fact that people that are lost are one day going to be responsible for all their sins. You say, preacher, aren't you responsible? My sins are paid for. It doesn't give me a right to go out and sin. It does not give me a license to sin. I still will have the effects of sin here in this world. But when I stand before God, before His precious Son, all my sins are going to be paid for through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Isn't that a glorious thought to realize that? See, that doesn't give me a license to sin. That ought to give me a liberty to live. That ought to put something in my life to say you ought to do right. You know, when somebody does right, good things to you, don't you want to treat them right? And I think, well, all that the Lord's done for us, and I think about all that we do not do for Him sometimes. And I realize, I know who's getting the bad end of that deal. But that's why He's so gracious and merciful. He already knows me and He knows my errors, my faults, my downfalls. But the wrath of God is coming. And it's coming on those who don't believe. See, I won't face the wrath of God. Isn't that what the Bible says? Isn't what the Bible teaches us? There's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. The Bible says that we'll not see the wrath. Isn't that what it says in John chapter number 3? I believe it is. Let's just be sure that the Bible says that. I'd hate to tell you something wrong. The Bible says, let's look at John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath. That's a present possession, hath. And this is something, if you read this word hath and you understand the tense of it, it's once you get it, it's forever. It's a present possession, but once you receive this life, it's a forever life. Hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But what happens? The wrath of God abideth on him. I like the change that I got when I got saved. I don't have that condemnation. But if you're not saved, the wrath of God is already on you. But dear friends, you've not seen anything yet. There's a day of wrath coming that's unlike anything this world has ever known or ever faced. I've been reading the Fox's Book of Martyrs and some interesting stories. Hard to read. And I was reading that and you know, instantly I just thought, boy, they're facing all these terrible things. And the Bible says that they're not facing the wrath of God. Now I begin to realize the wrath of man and the wrath of God are two different things. So you can't try to... you can't try to compare the two. You see, the wrath of man may cost us our life here in this world, but the end of this life is glory in heaven. The wrath of God will bring to you the end of life in this world, but the end of this life under the wrath of God is an eternity in hell. You understand the difference, right? So we see that. The wrath of God is coming. Let's move on, because I'm meant to be done by now. And not only do we see the wrath of God, I want you to see, fourthly, the wonder of God. The Bible goes on. It says, the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged. And listen, it goes on and says, and that thou shouldest give reward unto the servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great. So in the midst of the wrath of God, they're reminded of the wonder of God. See, God never forgets His own. God may be dealing with this wickedness over here, but He's always got His hand of mercy and His hand of blessing on His children over here. Even during these times and during these difficult days, God always has His eyes on His beloved, upon the ones that He loves so much. So in the midst of it all, God remembers His own, and He's going to reward those that have followed Him and put their faith in Him. Prophets and saints, the Bible says, small and great, that have feared His name. That's the wonder of God. Sometimes I think in this world, with all the wickedness that's going on, and I think, you know, God's got to be busy putting out fires all the time. And sometimes, just in my finite mind, and I guess you could say in my sinfulness, I think, with all the troubles, does He really have time for me? And then I'm reminded, He always has time for me. I'm special to Him. Do you realize He knows me by my name? He knows every hair on my head. He knows every thought in my mind. He knows every need that I have. And so while He's over here taking care of all these troubles, He's over here taking care of me. That's the wonder of God, isn't it? It's nothing's too hard for Him. I put Him in a box, little God. I put Him in a box sometimes. That never happened. You ever say something like that? We can never do that. That's what I'm thinking. It probably never will happen. But boy, when I realize that God can do that, we're headed toward the right way, aren't we? The wonder of God. Then I want you to see, fifthly, and I'm closing here in about 25 minutes, the will of God. The will of God. Last part of verse 18 says, "And shouldest destroy them that which destroy the earth." And the temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen in His temple the ark of His testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. The Bible says in verse number 18 that God destroys those that have worked so diligently at destroying this earth. Now, I want you to remember what the Bible says over and over and over again. The Bible says all things were created by Him and for Him. So when I think about that, I realize how precious this earth is to Him. He created it. He made it. He formed it. He made it in its shape. He put it in its place in the solar system. And He spun it just the right way. He loves this place. This is the works of His hands, of His creation. And in these days that He created heaven, the earth, created all these things, on the last day, on the sixth day, He created man. And the prize of His creation is the only thing that's been disobedient to Him. The only thing that's went against Him. Everything else has fallen in place, but then man has desecrated the earth, has spoiled the earth, used it for their own convenience instead of for Him. Because remember, it was created by Him and for Him. So the things that we do ought to be to bring glory to Him. Well, that's a hard concept for me to get, but I believe it because that's what the Bible says. So the will of God was He created this earth for Him and by Him. He created me for Him, by Him, and for Him. So when we think about this, in this we understand that those that have destroyed the earth, He's going to destroy. And this earth's going to be reconciled to God. And at this point, the Bible says when He destroys those that destroy the earth, there's going to be a scene in heaven. And John is seeing Him destroy those that destroyed the earth. But then John looks, and in heaven, the temple of God is open. And inside the temple of God, he sees the ark of His testimony, the ark of His covenant. And that's so precious. Because while the temple that's here on this earth has been desecrated by Satan and by his followers, there's a pure and a holy temple in the very realms of glory. And in that temple, the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of His testimony is going to be there. And all of God's covenants with His people are in that ark. I want you to see this tonight. All the promises that God has ever made are going to be fulfilled. He's not forgotten one of them. He remembers His covenant with Noah, His covenant with Moses, His covenant with Abraham. He remembers those things. And by the way, He remembers His covenant with us. You say, what is that covenant? Grace. He remembers these things. They've not surpassed Him. He's not forgotten. And one of these days, the will of God is going to shine through. And we're going to see at the end of it all that God was always in control. He had it all in His hands. The Old Testament, if you go read, the ark's presence always brought blessings to His people. And one day, through the will of God, all God's children is going to be with Him forever. The presence of that ark is going to be there. There's going to be blessings forever. And when this temple of God in heaven is open, the Bible teaches us there's lightnings and voices and thunderings. There's an earthquake and there's great hail. It just signifies that the final judgment is going to come. The truth of God's Word is going to be what brings the judgment to this world. So I want to close with this thought tonight. As we view the future events, the things that we're reading, I want you to realize there's a lot of descriptive acts left concerning this time of great tribulation. Talked about the chronology of it all, and the quickness, the rapid things until the Lord Jesus returns that's getting ready to happen. But the seventh trumpet signals the closing of it all, and we're going to see certain personalities in the next couple of chapters. It's going to be very interesting. There's going to be visions concerning certain events. And then soon, chapter number 16, I believe it's chapter 16, the seven vials are going to be poured out. And following that, there's going to be a great battle take place. By the way, I know who wins. Then after that battle, there's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ ruling and reigning here on earth, and we're going to reign with Him for 1,000 years. And at the end of that 1,000 years, old Satan's been bound during that time. He's going to be loose for a short while. And then not much longer than he's loose, he's going to be cast into a lake of fire. Then there's going to be a great white throne judgment. At that great white throne judgment, all the lost dead are going to be dealt with. All those that have refused Christ throughout these times are going to be dealt with. And then it's going to usher in eternity. And we're going to be with Him. Because of His kingdom, there is no end. It's forever and ever. Thy kingdom come. One day, His kingdom, this kingdom will be His. But until that time, we have the responsibility to live for Him, to serve Him, to love Him, and to lead others to Him. Before you can do that, you have to know for sure that heaven's going to be your home. Do you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that if you were to die tonight, Jesus Christ were to come this night, do you know that you're going to heaven? Is there peace about it? Is it settled? Well, I want you to know the Bible teaches us you can have a salvation that you can be sure of. And it comes through trust in Christ. Putting your faith in what He did, not what you do, not your good works. Good works are the result of His salvation. Remember I preached this a couple weeks ago? Good works are the fruit of salvation, not the root of salvation. And we need to have those works proven our faith, but not to get our faith. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Oh, thank you for listening to me tonight. I feel like I have so much area to cover in these things, and your patience with me is so wonderful. If you're here tonight and you say, preacher, I know I'm saved. I can say without any doubt, not because I'm so good, but because the Lord is so good, I can say without any doubt that heaven's going to be my home. I have peace about it. Would you raise your hand? I'm saved tonight. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm trusting Christ, Him alone. God bless you. Thank you for that. Just to be sure, I want to ask this. How many would say, preacher, I didn't lift my hand right then. I'm not saved. I'm not sure I'm saved. I can't say for sure that heaven will be my home. But right now, I'm going to admit that I'm not settled about this. I want you to pray for me. Would there be one? Lift your hand, preacher. I'm not saved. I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. Would there be one? Many of us lift our hand of saved. As a matter of fact, I believe all of us did that are of age. Lifted our hands, we were saved. Thank the Lord for that. How many of us are living for Christ? You know, we can talk about the kingdom coming. We can talk about the day He's going to rule and reign. We can talk about the kingdoms of this world becoming the kingdom of our Lord and His Christ. But the truth of the matter is, there is a day of judgment coming for those of us that are saved. It's not a judgment for our sins, but it is a judgment for our service. What have we done with the Lord Jesus Christ since we've been saved? Are we taking the things that we are learning in God's Word and helping others to know them? Are we bringing others to the knowledge of Christ? We can't save them, but are we giving the gospel? Are we being a faithful witness at our work? Are we being the right kind of testimony? Are we bearing a resemblance to Christ? As we think about that, tonight maybe you'd want to come and say, Lord, help me to be what You want me to be. Help me to be a more faithful witness. Help me to lead someone to Christ, or at least to give the gospel of Christ. Leave the result up to You. And as the Lord's dealing with you tonight, we're going to sing a hymn here in just a moment, a hymn of invitation. Brother Chris will. If the Lord's dealing with you about any of these things, other things, you may just need to come. Would you be obedient to the Lord? Father, I pray that Thy will would be done. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to Your calling. And we'll thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you quietly stand to your feet? Brother Chris is going to sing a hymn of invitation. Look, we're not going to tarry long. You know what you need to do. Don't let the devil win. If you need to come, come on. If you don't, that's between you and the Lord. It's fine.